and her project management background, et cetera, it worked out extremely well because she jumped into the picture. And then basically we just started to come up with different ideas. And the Nicoletta at Acadia, she helped us formulate a formula. And we since went on to create other formulas. But basically, long story short, it was because of my boys. And I just needed to have something for them that I felt safe putting on them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just really do want to acknowledge how difficult that must be. I mean, I know about Lyme through my own personal experience, but watching your children suffer is just a whole other level of suffering. So I'm glad you took an awful situation and made it into something really meaningful. And I'm just curious, what are some of the challenges that you've had to overcome in creating and selling your products?
Well, in the beginning, I thought it was going to be a fairly easy process. When I found out that it needs to be registered with Health Canada, I thought, oh, okay, no problem. And then I get into my computer and I open it up and I Google, you know, how do you do this? And I get on the Health Canada page and I was like, I just looked at it and went, oh dear God. It was a whole different language. So in Mahone Bay is a town full of self-employed people. And I literally went around to different businesses saying, hey guys, I don't know what I'm going to do here. Do you know anyone with a science background, et cetera? So one of them gave me a phone number of a lady from Acadia Entrepreneurship. I came home. I gave her a call. She wasn't there because it was lunchtime. I left a message, closed my phone, opened my computer, and Leanne Strathy was the lady I called, and Leanne Strathy was sending me an email message the same time I was calling her asking me how to buy my spray.
So, that's a great coincidence.
Oh my God, it was weird. But she put me in front of a whole bunch of different departments and different people because she didn't know how to help me either. So I presented my case to everybody. And then one of them in there, Lee from ICE is the acronym, she said, oh, I think I know who can help you. So Dr. Nicoletta Ferrone had just started working there, I believe 3 months prior. And she's a biochemist, something. Nancy will fill all that in, but she's a biochemist and she just happened to have a background with insects and essential oils.
That is
so
amazing.
The stars were, now I wish I could say, the spray was registered. It wasn't. It took about 5 years of a lot of ups and downs. I've said to Nancy before, it was like, it's like a bad relationship. It was like a bad relationship because right when you think everything's going good and, oh, this is great, all of a sudden you turn around and, man, it just crashes and you feel like you're going to cry.
Wow. So, but you persisted. Just, 5 years is a long time.
It is, but I've got that kind of personality, I guess, where I just can't give up on something. So
fair enough.
Anyway.
Now, can you tell me how people use the Atlantic repellents in the dryer? Because I know we've talked about that on our show before, that when you come inside, you know, you might want to put your clothes in the dryer for 10, 15 minutes to remove any ticks that you might be bringing into your house. But I think you guys do something different too, don't you?
Yeah, so basically, to kill ticks are resilient little buggers, mm-hmm. and they've been around since the dinosaur age. So they're here to stay. So when you come in and you take off your clothes, you throw them in the dryer because high heat can kill them and you want it to be dry heat. What the wool dryer balls do, basically, well, you put the scent on them as well to try to get a bit of that scent in your clothes and in the dryer. But it also makes sure that your clothes is being separated as it's going around the dryer and make sure it gets those ticks that might be in the little crevices, et cetera. It's just an extra added protection is all it is.
And then you can always go through your lint filter to see how many you found.
Oh, and yes.
Can your products be used on pets? That's something I've had people ask me about for their animals. We have ticks out here on Vancouver Island already, and a friend of mine had found a number of ticks on her dogs and was saying, you know, what do I do? And I said, hey, I think I know the answer to that question.
So with Health Canada, the spray is registered for humans.
Okay.
But the oils that we use are safe on dogs and horses. So we get people who use it for their horses because we sell it in the big 500 ml bottles and they use it on their dogs. Now I have a dog. I use it on Bella. She hates it. Absolutely hates the smell, but she knows if she's going to go outside, she's got to put it on. So she just kind of puts her head down. She takes it. And then also you can do extra things too. Like you can get, we've got Lava Band collars. So the lava, see, when you spray it on yourself, you know, you're good for a few hours. But if you want that added little bit of, especially dogs roll around in the ground, they're running around, as soon as they start to sweat or if their mouth goes down near the ground, et cetera, the little ticks, they don't have eyes. They can only smell and they're going to smell you. So if you put something like a Lava Band collar on your dog and you soak it in the spray, that scent's going to last a long time. And again, extra added extra protection. Or if your dog has a bandana, spray it on the bandana as well as your dog.
Oh, that's great. That was my next question, actually, is do you apply it directly to the skin or would you apply it to clothes or for your pets, their fur?
You do both. Yeah. And then when it comes to their little faces, you would just put it on your own hand first and then just kind of pet them and try to get under their chin and stuff, because it's the CO2 coming from your dog's mouth is going to trigger the ticks as well.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, I don't know if I, so you worked with Health Canada for 5 years and you actually did get your product registered, right? Last year, I think, last fall?
Yes.
Okay. So if people want, they can see that you've got a registered number and they're good to go.
Absolutely. And we'll be shouting it out come spring.
That's great. Well, we'll help you shout it out too.
Great.
Now, can your products be used in the outdoors, like in your yard or in your garden? Or I know I saw that some people might use it in golf courses, because that's honestly the reason I don't like golfing is going to look for the ball in the bushes.
I know. Well, we've got a couple things on the go. So the spray, the personal spray, the insect repellent, a lot of golfers use it because we sell it in the small 60 ml bottles. You just throw it in your backpack, your golf bag, whatever. And you just put it on yourself because it's going to keep, when you got to go in the woods, make sure you're sprayed. And then those ticks shouldn't be interested in you. And mosquitoes too, luckily.
Mm-hmm.
But with what we're doing in the background is we started out with just doing the personal spray. But then, of course, as Nancy and I went on, you know, and ideas generate, because we don't want to just leave it at that, because it's exactly like you're saying, like, you know, I don't want to go out in my yard. In my front yard, I live in a town, and in my front yard, the deer are always there in the evenings dropping off ticks for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we've come up with a couple of different ground treatments that will kill the ticks, but is still environmentally friendly.
Wow, that's great. And, so it does actually kill the ticks. It doesn't just repel them.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah.
And then we're also working on a few other things for your clothing and different things like that. And like, I won't get in too much into that, but again, that's a Nancy thing more than me thing. But we have a few things going on because we don't want to leave it at just the personal tick spray. We've got a lineup of other stuff that we want to keep putting out, because I don't want anybody else to go through that sickening feeling that we went through with my sons. So
absolutely. Yeah. And so we'll post links to your website and some of the information that we're referencing today. Where can people buy your products?
They can buy it in a variety of different stores across Canada. We have, I believe, every province. We may not have Saskatchewan, but we got pretty much every province.
That's great.
Covered.
Well
done. Mind you, you know, there's loads of room for expansion. We have Nova Scotia and the Atlantic provinces. We're spreading quite quickly here, but we really want to put a push further out west from the Atlantic provinces. But you can buy it. So you can buy it at stores. You can buy it at PetSmart, Sobeys. But you can also buy it online from our online store. And we do know how painful shipping is, so we only have a flat rate of $6.99 no matter what you buy, unless you're buying something that can go in an envelope, then that's free. But anything else, it's flat rate, to try to make it pretty easily accessible to people.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much. And now let's jump over to Nancy. And Nancy, I know you have a background in quality control, and I know you've been working with a lot of scientists conducting research. I'm curious to know more about tick behavior and the science behind these products. So what kind of research has Atlantic been involved in? And I know I know Lisa kind of introduced some of that, but let's take it over to you.
Well, excellent question. And we have, I feel like at this point, after 5 years, we've kind of been working in a few different directions. But as far as the research goes, because of the different products that we have in development, but as we're doing this work, we are discovering so much about the physiology of ticks and how they work. And so a number of the, there have been a number of articles, peer-reviewed scientific articles that have been published since we began this work with Acadia to share that information with the rest of the scientific world. So I'm not sure if you want me to tell you specifically what some of those bits are, but it is.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Like I did read through some of the articles you sent me, and one of them was really long, but I know that one of them was referencing like chemosensory sensilla, like different tick parts, right?
So it's hard to explain exactly what we're doing in ways that are really understandable and accessible. But what we are trying to do is trying to understand exactly how ticks sense people. And so one of the things that one of the really fabulous, exciting things that our Dr. Nicoletta Ferone was doing last year in this process was, or maybe it was the year before, but putting electrodes into the brains of the ticks to see how they respond to different stimuli.
Wow.
And so we've done loads of work for quite some time that has contributed again to like understanding how the Haller's organs work on the front legs and also how the natural ingredients that we're interested in impact ticks in general. So yeah, it's there's a lot in there. It's really fascinating stuff. And I think from it, we've learned so much that we can actually develop these really great new products, as well as help other people to understand how they're at risk around ticks. So, you know, a lot of what we do with Atlantic is try to educate the public. Because we, even though Lyme is really, you know, prominent in our own lives, we know that it's really not in the face of everybody across the country. And we think it should be, because we know it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Indiscriminate. Ticks they'll bite anybody. Anybody who has a blood meal ready for them and that they can access at the, you know, in the moment that they're questing on the top of the blade of grass or whatever short vegetation that they're on, they're going to go for the same things every time. So if we know that, we can help people prepare themselves to prevent those interactions. We like to tell people always to wear, I mean, I know this is not the most comfortable idea on a hot day, but the more you can keep covered, the better. You know, closed-toed shoes, things like that. These are some really basic safety tips, but they're very, very important. Not going off trail into really overgrown areas. Ticks are really temperature specific in that they still need some moisture to be alive. They don't like super, super hot areas, so they probably won't go to like the middle of the lawn where it's mowed, where grass is mowed down, and they would be more exposed. So they tend to hide in areas that are a little bit more moist, shady, and certainly overgrown. You know, so we say keep on trails, be vigilant around your wood piles, things like that. But be aware also that they are attracted by scent. Scent right. is their primary hunting tool. So, and they're like Lisa said, they're looking for CO2, which is why children and dogs or, you know, animals are often the population that seems to acquire these. The tick bites the most because they're shorter. They're breathing right into the areas, and they're rambunctious, right? They're running off trail. They're running all over the place into the areas that they might more likely encounter encounter ticks.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's great that really the research is not only looking at the physiology, but also the behavior of the ticks, as well as, you know, different habitats. And I think I remember reading in one of them that, you know, that they're sort of looking at the difference between, like, is there a difference between testing ticks on humans versus man-made, you know, surfaces? Like, a tick crawling up a leg is going to be different than a tick crawling up, like, a glass plate in the lab or something like that.
Absolutely. And I mean, it is also important to know that part of the product development that we do, it does incorporate an element of human trials, right? Mm-hmm. So in order for us to prove that these things are effective, we have to test them on humans. And so those are controlled tests that are always, like, you know, passed through ethics boards to make sure we're doing things appropriately.
Of course.
But absolutely. No, we've got some seriously brave volunteers. Of course, we use completely clean.
Right.
But of the species that we're looking at, multiple species, typically, as specifically black-legged or Ixodes scapularis, but absolutely, we look at the dog tick as well. It's another really prominent one across the country that does spread Rocky Mountain spotted fever and a lot of other things that are quite detrimental. And if I could take a second and just say,
yeah, of course,
we are absolutely aware. I mean, I've had Lyme, my son, it's, you know, this is personal Lyme, but we've also dealt with co-infections of Lyme. So
exactly.
It's one of those things that you may not know about until you end up having a case of Lyme. But typically, if you're going to be bitten by a tick and acquire one of these things, it's usually not on its own. The pathogens are often bundled. And so we are trying to help people not just avoid Lyme, but avoid up to, I think, 18, 20 pathogens at this point that can be quite detrimental.
Absolutely. Now, I know that essential oils are the main ingredients you're using in your products, which is great to have a natural alternative to synthetics. And what are some of the active ingredients? Or maybe you can tell our listeners, I don't know, about terpenes or about, you know, some of the essential oils like lemongrass or geranium that you've been using in your products.
Well, it is the terpenes in particular. Those are basically the scent molecules in essential oils. And you know, they break down into different varieties of their own, and they all have different properties. But essential oils are, and the ones that we're looking at, which are very basically obnoxious, the most incredibly obnoxious smell for a tick. They're actually beautiful smells for us,
right?
humans, but for a tick, they are the exact smells that cause them to basically recoil, and it creates a barrier between you and the tick, a scent barrier that ticks are absolutely not willing to cross. But it is the terpenes that create those scents, and the oils that we look at are ones that are known to have particularly effective tick and other insect repellency properties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lemon eucalyptus. That was another one I saw in the research.
Exactly. Yeah. And they do often tend to fall in that sort of that more, I wasn't going to say pungent. It's very powerful. They're very, very strong smells, and they often fall into the more antiseptic kind of category of smells for essential oils. Yeah.
And then I just remember I was a tree planter in my 20s. I remember being out in the woods, and we smothered ourselves in DEET because that was the only thing back then. And we all knew how toxic it was, and yet we would put it all over our clothing and then, you know, not wash your hands before eating meals. And anyways, for tree planters out there, I hope they're listening to this so they know that there's another option too. And I just think it's great for children and animals and the planet to have better options like this that are not having long lasting toxic impacts on us all.
Absolutely, Sarah. And if I could just say one more thing, that's a really big differentiator between what we're doing and the deep-based products that are out there. I know that deep-based products are, you know, the old standard for repellency with both, you know, the American and the Canadian federal governments. But at this point, there's so many other impacts that are just not, that are just so destructive, like the fact that it's on pretty much every water surface in the around the planet, you know, things like that. But what people also don't know is that DEET itself is degrades plastic. And so any polymer, if you're spraying DEET over yourself to keep anything away, mm-hmm. and then you have, for example, like polyester in your clothing, or you're wearing, you have camping gear that has anything that has got a polymer in it, or safety gear at work. We have folks who are, you know, out working on power lines.
Sure.
And they're putting DEET over themselves. And because they have DEET just on their bodies, being in proximity of the power lines, it is melting the rubber coating on the power lines. It's melting fabrics and clothing. It's melting all kinds of safety and general gear. So it is an actual problem in that I think in a lot of cases, people think they're safer than they are.
Right.
With DEET, but it also is creating sort of another, you know, environmental catastrophe at the same time. Personally.
I get it. I think I'm still detoxing from it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we'll wrap up this interview, but do either of you have any closing comments for our listeners, especially for parents out there wanting to make sure whether they're parents of children or animals, any closing comments for them?
I think I would say basically just it's important you protect yourself. It might be a bit of a pain in the butt to spray yourself before you go out or try to remember to spray your dog, et cetera, but it's a heck of a lot easier than having to deal with Lyme.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Ticks don't discriminate, so you need to make sure you're being vigilant. And everybody is at risk, and we have seen cases across the country. So I would say, yeah, be vigilant every day. Do your daily tick checks.
I think those are awesome closing comments. Thank you both so much for your time. Thank you for your determination and seeing this through and making sure that, you know, the science is getting published. And I just hope you continue to have more people coming in and feeding the synergy of your whole project. Congratulations on your hard work.
Thank you. And thank you so much for spreading the word.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, ladies. I loved learning about the evolving scientific research and also that great message that ticks don't discriminate, so be vigilant. This is Looking at Lyme, a podcast of the Canadian Lyme Disease Foundation, and I am your host, Sarah Cormode. Stay safe in the outdoors.
We know the variants of concern are much more contagious.
COVID-19 death.
As well. As more contagious
variants COVID-19
Feeling overwhelmed? COVID-19 has many of us struggling with self-isolation, financial hardship, and uncertainty. Now more than ever, it is crucial that you stay informed about how to take care of your mind. Anxiety Canada is a non-profit organization that works to provide you with resources to help improve your mental health. Just like any other skill, healthy coping takes practice, and Anxiety Canada is here to help. Visit anxietycanada.com/COVID-19 for free, evidence-based digital resources on how to cope and where you can get help. Take time to focus on yourself. And remember,
you are not alone.
Join me, Robin, every Friday at noon for Roots and Berries. Tune in to hear bluegrass, old-time music, and other rootsy little nuggets with a focus on Canadian players, singers, and pickers. That's Roots and Berries, Fridays over the noon hour, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Dear listeners, as you may have heard, Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, is blocking Canadian access to all content created by news providers, including this radio station, in response to the Online Broadcasting Act. Access to local news and information matters to everyone, and while radio stations use their airwaves to keep you informed, we also use social media to share local news, events, and initiatives, and even content about our upcoming programming. We need you to write your MP and convey your concerns. Learn more and find a letter template for your MP on our website. Thank you for your support.